Welcome, art enthusiasts and culture seekers, to Arts Missoula's Missoula Mosaic. Heather Adams and Nathan Hokish host in this podcast as we journey through the vibrant tapestry of local art and culture that shapes the soul of Missoula, Montana. Nestled amidst the breathtaking landscapes of the Rockies, this city isn't just defined by its picturesque scenery, but by the remarkable creatives who call it home.
From painters and sculptors to musicians and performance artists, Missoula is a haven for those who thrive on self-expression. Join us as we delve into the narratives behind the art and culture makers that contribute to the unique identity of this cultural oasis.
In each episode, we'll sit down with local artists, creatives, and culture influencers, exploring their inspirations, challenges, and the profound impact they've had on Missoula. We'll take you behind the scenes of art studios, music venues, and other creative spaces, uncovering the identities that contribute to why we love Missoula. Hi, Caitlin. How are you?
I'm good. Hi, Heather.
Hi. It's nice to be here. So how did you get to Missoula and why did you stay?
Yeah. So before Missoula, I was living in Chicago and I was working as a writer and a performer for a theater company called the Neo-Futurists.
Mm-hmm. And those of you might know Jeremy Scher, who's also a local Missoula favorite, one of my favorite humans in the entire planet, was in that same group.
Yeah, we did we actually did a full-length play together, too, Jeremy and I, like, very shortly before we both decided to move to Missoula completely independently.
Right.
That's
crazy.
I remember telling him, like, I'm going to move to Missoula, Montana. He's like, that's really odd because I am also moving to Missoula, Montana. I'm like, what?
I love that.
Yeah. I moved here to get an MFA from the University of Montana in creative writing. And also my husband is originally from Great Falls, Montana. So we had family connections here and really loved that program, too. I mean, Missoula has so much to offer. It's kind of insane how much there is to do here and how much opportunity there is. And then from there, after I had my MFA, I worked at a tech company called Submittable for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And Submittable, you know, one of the founders, Michael Fitzgerald, he was a novelist and he'd been through that MFA program. So that's how I got connected with them.
Gotcha. So, you know, when you were looking at places to go for an MFA in writing, why? And this is not to be an accidental advertisement for the University of Montana.
Yeah. No.
but if it is, it is. But you know, as you're, I mean, that's a big choice, right? Where you spend that time.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, so my husband, Brennan, and I, he's an actor in town, Brennan Buell, and he
was just in Young Frankenstein, who was amazing.
Yeah, he's pretty great. And, you know, he and I were young, we were in love, and we didn't really have jobs. So we came to Montana one summer.
That's how everybody
you know,
gets
I know. And we were camping everywhere. We were like in the Bob Marshall. We were just camping everywhere. And in that time, we came through Missoula to check out the university and check out the town, too. We just heard good things, and he hadn't been here since he was a kid. So, you know, kind of as soon as I walked into this place, I felt like this was like a magical town. It was June, so, you know, I kind of got tricked by the June in Missoula. But
the seductress of June.
Exactly. And then seeing the campus, too, seeing where it was, you know, just the whole town and the campus, too, nestled into the mountains the way it is. Mm-hmm. It just felt really calm. It felt like a place we could really build a life after school, too. And then Deborah Ehrling, you know, an amazing writer, she was one of the people that I talked to when I was going through the, you know, the whole process of applying. And after I talked to her, I just knew that was going to be a good program and a good place for me. Just the way she talked about writing and, I don't know, she was just very authentic. And I felt like, okay, if that's a little taste of what it's going to be like there, I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah.
So, and that was true. She was amazing.
Yeah.
Still is. So,
do you remember what your first encounter with something artistic or cultural in Missoula was? I mean, you talked about camping and, you know.
Yeah.
But what was that first encounter? Do you remember?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think a lot of it was centered around what I found at the university.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, actually thinking about the Zach back then, it was still in the old location on the north side.
Right.
And so I do remember going to some readings there and feeling like that's a place where weird stuff can happen. Interesting, strange things can happen at that place. I mean, keep my eye on it.
But down in the basement.
Yeah, down in the basement, exactly. Right. But a lot of it was focused around writing, you know, and the writers that would come through and speak at the university were a big part of that. And then also a theater. So, you know, my husband was in, do you remember the Dirty Sexy Chocolate Show with Jeremy?
Oh, indeed.
Yeah, so they did that.
I was in that.
Oh, you were in it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I'd forgotten that.
I choreographed
right.
it the
okay.
first time and was in it.
That's
and
right.
directed it one time.
Yeah.
I was, like, the company manager one time. Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, you remember it.
Yes. Oh, and Brennan was impossible to be on the stage with.
Yeah, because he's funny.
Because he's hysterical.
Yeah.
And Yeah, he made it very difficult in the best way possible.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so that was fun. And, you know, he and I also put on a children's play in Conrad, Montana, of all places, while I was still in school. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. And again, it just felt like Missoula was this place where you could have this funky little idea, and there you start talking about it, and people come out of the woodwork and want to support it and be part of it.
Yeah.
So that's been my experience here multiple times.
Yeah. Yeah. That's part of why I stayed, was that I felt like I was coming from New York City, right?
Mm-hmm.
So also coming from a really big place. But I felt like an idea could sprout some legs and could get going.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. People would support you.
And has that been true for you, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I didn't mean to stay, right? I mean, I moved here and thought I'd be here about 6 months. And it's 20-something years later.
Yeah, here we are.
24, 25 years later. Yeah. And I'm still here. Yeah, how do you address in your day-to-day work now at the ZAC of telling that story of why arts should exist, why it should be supported, certainly in the ED role, right? I mean, you're basically remixing that story over and over again, right? When you're writing grants and talking to sponsors and donors and, you know, and we're always trying to expand our audiences, right? Like, who doesn't know about us? And how do we tell them about us?
Yeah.
What's your why?
I think it's such a big question.
It's gigantic. Sorry.
No, it's a good, I mean, it's a question I feel like is worth asking over and over again. And it changes, too, depending on who it is, you know, because the why is different. I feel like the buzzword is the transformative power of the arts, you know, but what
absolutely, yeah.
What's that mean? Or that phrase, what does that mean? And, you know, I usually start from a personal place, like what it's meant for me, you know, to have a chance to be on a stage, have a chance to hear my writing read out loud, and then also, you know, just to have a little bit of it published here and there. Like, that's been transformative for me in terms of my confidence. And I think about... you know, the opportunities that I've had in the business world, the opportunity I have now as a, you know, as a leader in the arts, that didn't come out of nowhere. You know, that sprang from that sense of my voice has value. Mm-hmm. I can raise my voice. I can speak loudly. People
and
do want to hear what I care. I do care about what, And it was English, so the diction, the grammar, all that too. But, you know, there's just that sense that, like, I do matter. I have a place in the world, and it's worth it for me to express myself. There's value there. So that's where, you know, that transformative power has affected me personally. And I see that at the ZAC all the time. You know, I talk about our rock camps a lot because you can literally see it. You see that a kid come in shy. Yeah, you see the transformation in a week where then suddenly this shy kid is like a rock star. You literally see that happen.
Yeah.
But I think that transformative power can also be really quiet. You know, it's not for everybody this loud thing or... It's not about raising your voice so much as, you know, something that's a lot more internal and a lot more about finding peace, processing what it is to be alive in our world today. Like, I really think it's an individual experience, but, you know, if you're open to the arts and you have access to the arts and you got that chance, whatever that might mean for you, that transformation is going to be personal and powerful if you let it. And that's why I think it has to be broad, too. We have to support many different types of art to give people that chance to find the one that where they resonate.
Right. Some people are movers, singers, writers, quiet. I love that you said that. Sometimes it's the transformation is quiet. And it's so hard to calculate.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have to keep telling people why it matters.
Yes.
You know, all the things that we extrapolate out of an art experience, arts integration, an arts for art's sake experience. Just being in an audience, you don't know what lights are being turned on.
Right.
You know, So the Zach works with kids mm-hmm. quite a bit.
We do.
But I'm actually interested, and I often think that, you know, the arts experiences tend to be focused on children, mm-hmm. but we need to continue our journey with art, our interaction with art
yes.
as adults, because turns out we need to keep processing. We need to keep having cathartic experiences.
Yep.
And when life gets really, really difficult, I think that we can use art to mm-hmm. find ourselves again. So what do you think is happening to adults, not even just through the Zach, I mean, just all of your experiences with the arts? What have you seen?
Yeah, and I totally agree with you, too. And I think there's something that funky that can happen when adults are supporting the arts just for kids. It almost becomes like a performative thing.
Totally.
If you're not actually yeah. engaged, you know, the kids respond most when the adults around them are genuinely engaged
in
whatever it is that they're interested in, you know. And for some, that can be the arts. And I think that's really powerful to mm-hmm. see, you know, a parent or an adult that you look up to who's not doing it to pretend to show you, like, hey, look, kid, you could do this, too.
Yeah.
But they're doing it for the joy of it
yeah.
or
yeah.
because it's bringing them some value mm-hmm. in their real adult life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things that I see, you know, through the last crazy years we all went through, people became very isolated, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
I am seeing a real, real desire and longing for connection.
Mm-hmm.
And for some, that means they want to make things together. You know, they want to find places where they can go and they can, you know, take a printmaking workshop with other adults who are also learning this craft. Or
yeah.
they want to come to a live show and see a music event together in the same room again. They want that connection, that physical presence together. And then, you know, that also extends to daytime. Like, I think that a lot of adults are looking for something to do during the day that isn't working out, you know, isn't like, you know, that is maybe more something that they do regularly.
Yeah.
Know? Not just like, I want to come in and learn a really specific skill,
mm-hmm.
but more like I want to join a community of people that are practicing a craft,
mm-hmm.
you know, that are learning something together.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a social element there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, you know, there's, I think, a real call for activism in the mm-hmm. arts. There's, I mean, you know, just look in any direction and there's something that needs help, needs attention.
That needs, yeah.
Needs a voice. Yeah. yeah. And so I think that people are looking to the Zach and looking to artists in our community mm-hmm. to find a voice for the many different.
To be the conduit.
Troubles that we're facing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To be
yeah.
the conduit.
Yeah, because you can't always just talk about the problem. Sometimes
yeah.
you have to go out the door, go around to the backyard, come mm-hmm. in the cellar,
yep.
you know, clean up the cellar, and then all of a sudden you have a solution to your problem,
yeah.
right? I mean, I do that all the time,
I
right?
Like
when I really have to think about something, I do something entirely different.
Yeah.
You know, and I have all sorts of discoveries, you know,
yeah.
while I'm dancing.
Right.
Or being in a theater experience, you know. Yeah. What would you say is your favorite undiscovered, which by very nature of you talking about it, it won't be undiscovered anymore. I realize the duality in that. your undiscovered, like, art or cultural gem, you know, what's something that like you've seen that maybe people don't, because so much happens at the Zach.
Yeah.
And we try to get to a lot of it.
Yeah.
But what's something that you've seen that you're like, oh, wow, not enough people know about this?
It's the drag shows at the Zach.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's undiscovered because they're pretty popular, but the drag shows put on by mm-hmm. ISCSM
yeah.
are so fun.
yeah.
And they happen pretty regularly at the Zach, too. You
yeah.
know, almost once a month,
yeah.
there's a drag show happening, and they're just
yeah.
so... They're so fun, and they're also, you know, talking about activism. Like, that is a group that really works to support different groups in the community.
Mm-hmm.
They support and sponsor the Zach.
Yeah.
At times, and I just think I just think they're really fun. They are sort of undiscovered, and if you're looking for something that is going to really be a good time, go to that drag show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about, you know, voices that need to be elevated.
Yep.
And supported and loved. So thank you for doing that.
Absolutely.
Not that I have any authority to thank you. But,
no,
but
I don't either. I feel
genuinely thankful.
To do that work at the Zach,
yeah.
you know, and that they have a space for it, and it feels like
yeah.
a really good partnership.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of mutual love.
You guys are
love.
Kicking ass over there. So thank you. Thank you for being a part of that in Missoula. And thanks for being here and talking to us today.
Oh, gosh. Of course.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Appreciate that you asked me.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
yeah.
Go support the Zach, everyone.
Absolutely.
We'd because love it's to see one you of there. Those corner, people used to refer to it as like, or not to it specifically, mm-hmm. but places like that as third spaces, right? The,
yeah.
The space that if you support that, then that the ripple effect out in the community,
yes.
you know, it just keeps going and going and going. You're supporting so many people, the downline, right?
Absolutely.
Arts Missoula just did, you know, the Arts and Economic Prosperity
yes.
survey. With Americans for the Arts. And, you know, we know that like every ticket that you buy, it's like
yes.
$29 more out into the economy. So, I mean, just think about the ripple effect that
oh, yeah.
all of those shows at the Zach is having on our economy. So that's why it's important.
It's
that's another
so
reason.
It's so important. And we think about that a lot at the Zach. And something a lot of people don't know is that our, you know, the split, they call it,
mm-hmm.
at a typical venue will favor the venue
mm-hmm.
to make sure that the venue can
yeah.
operate. But the Zach, you know, we're a nonprofit. We're mission-based. And so that split heavily favors the artists.
Yeah.
So when you come see a show at the Zach, the majority of that ticket price goes right into that artist's pocket.
Yeah.
If you come buy a piece of art at the Zach,
yeah.
you're literally supporting that artist economically.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly powerful and meaningful, and that okay. kind of support, that's that confidence builder too. And that's the thing
yeah.
that it's money in their pocket, and it's also a path forward, building a real career.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, too, for the work that you do to support
yeah.
All of us here in the arts in Missoula. And
yeah.
we appreciate your work so very
thank
much.
You. Likewise.
All right. So now comes the time Arts Missoula asks the hard-hitting questions. It's this or that. Things you're dying to know in 60 seconds. So I'm going to ask you questions that are this or that. And you just, the first one that comes to your mind, say it. And we're going to see how many we get in a minute.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. Socks with sandals, yes or no?
No.
Pizza with pineapple, with or without?
With.
Early bird or night owl?
Night owl.
Vintage vinyl or streaming music?
Vintage.
Ninja or pirate?
Oh, pirate.
Wear socks on your hands or gloves on your feet?
Oh. Ow. I guess I wear socks on my hands.
That's a good choice. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
UFOs, believers or skeptics?
Oh, believer.
Right. Invisibility or teleportation?
Ooh, I don't know. Teleportation.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get around.
Dancing in the rain or building snowmen?
Dancing in the rain.
Superhero or supervillain?
Villain.
Yeah. Savory or sweet?
Savory.
Singing in the shower or car karaoke?
Oh, car karaoke. More private.
Okay. Yeah. Camping or glamping?
Oh, camping. Camping.
Right. Winter or summer activities?
Winter.
Dinosaur or dragon as a pet?
Oh, dinosaur.
Comedy or magic show? Time's up. Nice job. Thank you for listening to Missoula Mosaic, where we meet some of the brilliant minds behind Missoula's art scene. Until then, keep your creativity alive and remember, every stroke, every note, every performance, they all contribute to the canvas of Missoula's cultural identity.